You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We're here today with a bunch of fun, basically, is what's going to be happening.
Y'all are the fun.
Yeah. See, if you're listening, you've already picked up that we're missing something. We're missing some male voices. Yeah. It's just the ladies in the house today. So obviously last week's episode, my mom and I talked about women, and we're just going to continue that. So we brought in some of our favorite people that are ladies. So
powerful,
they are powerful
ladies.
Ruthie Ridley, Becky Johnson are here with us today.
Super excited.
I don't know how I end up on this show. I'm telling you, I'm with the powerhouses of powerhouses right here, sitting next to Becky and Sherry. Like right across the table. Let's go.
Yep.
Let's do this.
It's going to be fun. So for people that may not know who you are, what you do, can you give them a little bio?
Yeah, I was a full-time nurse for about 17 years. And then I turned into a full-time content creator in the chaos of 2020. Very like crazy, controversial time. I'm a woman of color married to a white cop.
What?
So there was a lot of...
And you're a Christian.
And I'm a believer. So there was a lot of attention on my page because I was saying things that normal people, like people weren't talking about. Yeah. So... yeah, I'm a content creator, like influencer, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
Fashionista. I mean, we all dream
fashion.
Of being like you.
No,
I just want to look at your closet. I just want to go in and
I call Ruthie when I need an outfit.
No, it's not that great.
It's not that great. Whatever.
No, I need
the
more space.
The Kylo Show never looks so good, guys.
You start
never
looks
so good.
Just for, I do. As a closet.
I do.
Yeah. Our kids are actually... all best friends too.
They are. They are all best friends. In fact, we're planning a birthday party for my 13-year-old, and she's like top of the list. Addie has to make it. If she can't make it, we're changing the date. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And Judah has already planned his 12th birthday.
In March?
Yeah, in February. It's in Tahoe, and both your kids have to come.
Yeah, that's how this goes. Okay. Well, you know, love it. Love you.
Love you.
So happy you're here. All right, Becky, your turn.
Yeah, my name's Becky Johnson. I'm the executive pastor of a church called Jesus Culture Sacramento.
Which means you do everything.
Which means what is executive pastoring? It's all of it. It's all of it that nobody else wants to do. I was the youth pastor for 8 years, and I've been the executive pastor for the last 18 months, so coming up on 2 years. I've been with Jesus Culture for the last 12 years of my life, married to our worship pastor. So if anyone knows org charts, I'm the executive pastor. He's the worship pastor. Just let that sink in. It's fine. We never have any arguments about it. It doesn't cause any tension being my husband's boss. It's fine. We listen to every marriage resource that Kylo puts out.
Good.
Org chart madness. That should be the name of an episode. What happens?
You know, we have a little bit of that going on here.
Yes.
So I understand. I know.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
What are you talking about? You both have 3 kids each.
Yeah. I'm in the other season. So Ruthie's in the fun, you know, like teenager season. I have a 2, 5, and 10-year-old. And so I also travel and preach, and I have 3 kids, and I work full time. And
let's just pray for you right
now. Yeah.
That's what this Jesus is about
come.
Right now.
Yeah.
Jesus come.
When I see people with older kids, I'm like, I know it's exhausting in a different way. We talk about, you know, that's emotionally exhausting. I'm physically exhausted. But it's... my husband and I will look at families with older kids, and we're like, "There's the light. Like we're coming.
Everyone's gonna get in the car by themselves someday."
Yes.
My mom used to say to me, "Honey, in a few years, it's gonna get easier." Oh. And I'm like, "Mom, you say that every year." She goes, "Well, you keep having more children."
Oh, that's true.
So
that's
when they could all get in the car and buckle up. Like, wow,
such a big deal.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's gonna be good one day.
Yeah. And I've just entered in the adult parenting season.
Oh, yeah.
But I still
need children.
18 and out of the house.
Oh, my word.
She's at retreat
right now
for BSSM. So great. She's calling me, Becky, telling me testimonies. That's what she's calling me.
I love it.
About
this.
People getting healed. She got her prayer language she didn't have, which
amazing.
Thank you, Lord.
I guess
she's
I missed
meeting
that one.
All kinds of fun friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's super fun. Lots of fun. So, anyways, but we're going to dive into... just all that it means to be a woman. We talked about that in the last episode, and having you guys on. We just wanted to have a conversation around being a wife, around being a mother, being a sister. What does that look like? Being a friend? Because there's a lot of talk about what is a woman and what's the goodness of being a woman, and a woman that is a Christian, a woman that's living her life with purpose and knows her identity in Christ, and then putting that on display in all those areas. So that's kind of the topic and what we're really going after. And we picked you two on purpose.
We did. I'm here to learn from Ruthie right now.
Lord have mercy.
So, we're just going to have conversations. Well, this is not interrogation. We'll answer the questions too, so don't feel.
Okay. Good. You'll air some dirty laundry.
We will. Okay. It's always dirty laundry. Okay, good. But do you want to lead in the questions, Mom?
Yeah. This is fun. Thanks. I love inspiring women to be themselves and dream, and I've taught and mentored young women, but one of the things that always comes up is, do I stay at home or do I work? And I always, one of the things I always say, I think nowadays you can have it all. You might not be able to have it all at once, right? So I think we dream about being a wife someday and a mom and all these things. And I guess one of the questions would be, when you thought about getting married and you thought about being a wife and a mom, and then you got all
that you wished for?
You got everything you dreamt of. What was one of the things that were like kind of stood out as a shock?
Expectations versus reality. Yes.
Yeah, I love those on Instagram. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, I had an interesting journey into motherhood. I really had to surrender to it. I spent most of my adolescence, like, I never, you know, my friends were like stuffing pillows in their nightgowns, pretending they were carrying babies and having baby dolls. I never was really drawn to baby dolls or to motherhood. And so when I got married, I thought, I'm not going to have kids. I just thought, I'm going to get married. I want to be a career woman. I want to, you know, be untethered. And I really believed that that was what my life was going to look like. What I didn't realize is the journey for me was going on an inner healing journey of that wasn't coming from a healthy place. That was coming from pain. That was coming from a reaction. That was coming from fear. And so I actually had a really crazy encounter with the Lord when I was 21. I had two dreams back to back where I don't know how charismatic this podcast is, extremely prophetic, Bob Jones and Lou Engle, men I had never met, but were prophets of the house that I was at when we were at Bethel. I had a dream where Bob Jones came to me in a dream and asked me where my children were. And in the dream, I fell to my knees when he said, where are your children? And I started crying. And he said, in the dream, you're scared. You're scared to have kids. And kind of went on this whole thing and pretty much in the dream laid out why I was afraid.
Oh, wow.
I woke up in a cold sweat. And this had never happened to me and has never since happened to me. And I woke up and I woke my husband up. We were just married. We were married for less than 2 years. He knew I did not want children. And I said, I think I want kids.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like immediate heart work. Next night, had a dream where Lou Engle, kind of the same thing, asked me about my son. And it turned my life around into, I'm going to have kids. But now I have to reconcile, how am I going to have kids and not stay home? Because I do want to work and I have this in my heart. And so it's been a wild journey. Wild journey of what, you know, and then dealing with the expectations in a Christian world. I was raised by a single mom, by a working mom. I had never experienced an expectation of women staying home until I became a Christian. I got saved when I was 18 and got into the church. And then it was like, oh, you shouldn't work. That isn't, you know, that's not the best for your kids. That's not what God's called you to do. And so here I am in a church context going, I would like to run something.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought I saw my mom run things our whole life. And she raised us, you're going to run things. Mm-hmm. And then in the church, they're like, oh, well, women don't really run things.
Unless it's
children's ministry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want, I don't even know if I want my own kids.
Personal assistants. I don't want crackers.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's great. And that you touched on something about women sometimes don't encourage each other, which is, we talk about sisterhood later, but it's like, hey, you instead of, you know, running alongside somebody's dream and cheering them on, we kind of like look over and like, you're different than me, so let me judge your skin off kind of thing.
Right. But
Sherry, you were actually one of the first women that I encountered. You were running first year BSSM when I was doing first year, you and a woman named Tracy Cooper. Yeah. And it was, I hadn't been a Christian long, but it was some of the only examples of women leading in a church, not doing children's ministry. Mm-hmm. And you would, both of you would get up frequently and release women and empower women and speak to the different callings. Hey, if you're called to stay home, wonderful. But if you're feeling called to do both. And it was some of the first voices that I experienced and then really followed and clung to. And you have been a huge encouragement, you know, personally and from afar, that wanting both is not wrong. And God designed me that way. So,
Oh, that's cool.
How about you, Ruthie?
Oh, man. You know, I watched that movie, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
And I really did want 12 kids. And then I had my first child and I was like, okay, I had so much anxiety. I didn't expect to have so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, when that kid was awake and it was daytime, my husband basically took care of the kid and did, this was Ava, did everything for her, which kind of explains why they're so close now.
They're so close.
I mean, he did everything except for nurse her. And
because he couldn't.
So I would think, because he couldn't.
You can't.
Because if he would, he, you know, and then that was it. He didn't help me in the nights after that with his babies or whatever. But I think that was kind of the biggest shock is like, I just didn't feel prepared for motherhood. Mm. Like Becky, I wasn't really playing with dolls and pretending to have kids. I just kind of decided after Ben and I got together, we have a lot of kids, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute, they cost so much money. My mom is buying their diapers, paying for formula, you know, doing all this stuff.
Car seats.
She was paying for everything. And I'm like, we can't even afford to be parents. Like, this is a joke. So that's the simple end of it.
Expectations versus reality.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. And then now I actually expected to be Superwoman and be able to be everywhere at every moment of every day for my kids. And my kids are now 11, almost 13, and 13, going to be 14. And it's the first time I'm asking for help. And that was an expectation. I really didn't say, I thought I could do it all. Honestly, I know that sounds crazy, but it's really humbling to say, can you get my kid for me? I hate it. I really do. And it is the life we chose.
I would pick up your kid for you, Ruby.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we need to stick together.
Thank you. So an expectation was for me too, was that I could do it all. And this is the first year, because I got a high schooler now in a different school, that I have to ask for help. And I don't love it, but it's good for me.
Yeah. That's good. Asking for help is important.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. I expected my kids this is going to sound so bad.
Sorry, be well behaved.
I expected them to. I expected them to halt me. I felt like I'm going to have kids, and everything is going to stop in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my reality has been, by the grace of God and a very good husband, my kids have empowered me. Mm-hmm. So they've slowed me down. And I think that we need to be honest about that.
You think they slowed you down?
Yeah. I mean,
we do have to slow down.
You got to slow down, right?
But so Becky's amazing, you guys. I'm just going to say that real quick because.
But I thought this is going to end me. Like this is
hinder you from actually doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah. And my reality has been. I tell people I think favor and growth and promotion opened up to me because I became a mom. Yeah, and when I see women go, I want a career, so I'm not going to have kids. I think, oh gosh, don't you know, like you won't, you know, you'll be so much fuller and more well-rounded as a person.
That kids actually
I agree.
Bring an invitation to understanding who the father is
Yeah,
in a way that we can't do without them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It tenderizes our heart. We become better daughters for the Lord because we have a child.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, this unconditional love, this heartache that happens when they make painful exchanges. I mean, we learn connection a different way when we have kids than when we don't have them.
And you become a lot less selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I always say the most selfish young couples I see, I go, oh, you don't need a dog. You need a child.
Yes.
You need a child in your life.
Seriously. Yeah. The dog is nothing.
You can put a dog in a kennel.
Yeah, seriously.
And then you have families that have one kid and you're like, oh, you need two kids.
You're not outnumbered yet.
Yeah, you're not outnumbered.
That's funny. What about with your husbands? Like, we talked about your kids, but what expectations versus reality happens with when you had a husband? I mean, I'll say I was young and naive when we got married. I was 18.
You were young.
So young.
Confirm that.
And I was pretty sure that every night we would go to bed and we would cuddle and fall asleep in each other's arms. And it would be like every movie I ever saw leading up until that moment. Yeah. And that I'd wake up and there wouldn't be bad breath and all the things. Like, I thought that I would enjoy that.
Totally.
Now I enjoy when he can't touch me because I have enough space in the bed and there's cold spots.
Totally.
Not that I am, but I'm not a touch love language, and that's no secret here.
That's funny.
But I remember thinking that I'm just going to long for this every single night. And we're nearly 20 years in. Next month will be 20 years for us.
Oh, my gosh.
I long for Ben, but not to cuddle with me all night long.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
That did change as far as when I first got married versus now. But he's still my best friend, so.
That's good.
I'm grateful for that.
Expectations versus reality. I expected it to be a lot easier than it is. I thought, like, the hard work is dating and pre-marrieds, and then you get married, and then it's like you're married forever.
It's
and
like a sleepover.
Yeah, we're like, the best part. And I, just consistently, I'm like, oh, just the other day, we kind of hit as, you know, we're 15 years in. I think you hit these milestones. And I'm like, Derek, we need to do some work. Like, we just, what is happening? You know, I described it as we're building a different part of our house and we have the wrong tools. Like, we need new tools. And I just didn't expect that. I didn't expect that.
But you still need to keep working on things?
Yes. That's how intentional you have to be to stay, like, happy and healthy. Mm-hmm. I thought the finish line is marriage. You know, the finish line is the I do.
For sure.
Make the covenant and then it's good. And
you cuddle all night long. And you don't mind the bad breath in the morning.
When we said I do, the gun went off for the longest marathon in your life.
Seriously.
It was not a finish line.
And that's been, it's been harder than I thought. But so rewarding, right?
For sure. You know, people say all the time that, you know, communication is key and you know, like what you see is what you get. You're not going to change that person. And I was actually pretty drawn to Ben because of how laid back he is and how quiet he is.
He's super chill.
Over the years, he would have more opinions. He would, you know, get more excited with me.
You thought you would rub off on him?
Yes. And I said, did you see like this? Me. Oh my gosh. The kids Jay just got promoted. That's amazing. You know,
happy.
Yeah, that's been sad. Yeah,
he's exactly. English. He's English.
So, and he's also, he's a 9 on the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. He's just really a peacemaker and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's an expectation of like maybe they'll become different.
Like more like me.
More like me. Mm-hmm. Like they'll get excited about things I'm excited about. And then communication. Yeah. You know, like that is just has been the biggest thing for him and I. Mm. And coming from a family, he's one of 5 kids where you just don't talk about anything. They are English. And Brits. So it's like, there's the rug. We're just going to, you know.
Yeah. Where's the rug?
He just doesn't have the desire. It's like, why would you talk about that? Why do we have to go so deep?
Yeah.
You know, it's like making him crazy. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, can we just be happy and hug and, you know, and another expectation I had because I grew up in a different kind of home where, you know, I have a Jamaican father. He's tough. Mm-hmm. And he did the best he could with a dad who died when he was about 11 years old.
Yeah.
And so he became the dad of 8 other siblings and did the best he could. But he was a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't expect Ben to forgive me as quickly as he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been cool for me.
Yeah.
He just He's like, I don't even, okay, like, why are you still talking about it? Let's keep going. He doesn't like to dwell on things. He doesn't like awkwardness. He doesn't like anything heavy.
Wow.
And so I expected him to, like, I felt like I was going to have to kind of earn back, you know, because I mess up, you know, and I thought I'd have to, like, spend a lot of time earning back his love for me. And he's always been extremely, I mean, on my meanest, you know, those paragraphs of just, I can't believe you did that to me, you know, and the, you know, this is a Christian podcast, but the things you say to your husband, you know, real rude, nasty. Yeah. And he said to me, you know what? We're not going to do this right now. You know, I can't do this right now with you.
Way to go, Ben, for setting it
straight. I will talk to you when we get, you know, and here I go again.
All the women listening, send this clip to your husband who doesn't forgive you. Not on that.
Literally. Ben.
This is a great point, though, because I've been married, next year will be 40 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And Italy, we're coming for you, just saying.
Yes.
That's our dream. Yes. But, you know, I would call this mature love. So even last weekend, we were doing a conference, and Brittany was teaching, and she had a set of questions for table discussion. And one of them, I think, was, what areas do you feel stuck still? And so, you know, 40 years in almost, and we still have, because communication during a conflict is hard. But if after you've been doing it for years and years, you realize we're going to be connected on the other side of this conflict because we always are.
Mm. Right.
We're going to stay in the game and work it out. But I think when you're first married, every little problem is like, oh my gosh, truly. We just blew our life up. Mm-hmm. You said what? You know, I'm wounded forever.
Yes. I'll never
actually,
trust
I'll
you
be
again.
Saying that again to you later, and you'll be wounded forever again.
Right.
Because, and I love that I'm the best version of myself right now, but I'm not done yet. Mm-hmm. And I think everywhere you are in your life, even when in your early married years or parenting years, you're giving them the very best you have at that moment in your journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your journey's really not over. And so you're just continually get better and better and better at those things. And then we end up in a rocking chair on the
porch.
Uh-huh. I don't care. You have no issues anymore.
Right.
I saw this
doesn't
funny.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. This is maybe too much information, but I saw this funny little skit the other day of this guy, the first few months he's married, his wife's going to the bathroom and he doesn't even want to go in there. It's just, you know, whatever, he's disgusted. And then it says 3 years in or 5 years in, and pretty soon he's in there talking about, he's handing her toilet paper while they're talking about their budgets. You know?
Yes, that's good.
So that's true.
A little gross, but idea. But it's just this,
it's reality.
The things that mattered here won't matter here. So in the middle, just remember, we're going to make it.
Yep.
And get help.
So good. Yes. So
huge.
Good.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
I think the big thing, you know, and whether it's communication is your struggle or, you know, boundaries, whatever it is, it's the, I'm going to keep choosing you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're married to an opposite in one way or another, if not extreme. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the grace of God. He gave us someone that's so different than us, which is exactly what we needed, because it calms us down. It reminds us to slow down. It reminds us to, I mean, that's what my Ben, we both have Bens, but that's what Ben does for me. It's like, he keeps me connected to this moment, but also the future. Cause I'm stuck in the details right here. I'm trying to plan this out so I can be successful.
Right.
And I'm feisty and spicy. And so I'm always making messes, and he's always saying, I love to have this conversation when your voice sounds like mine.
Right.
It's less now than it ever was before. So I'm growing.
Yeah.
Look at me maturing in my love. But it's that I'm going to keep choosing you. That's what makes marriage successful, is that regardless of all of this, at the end of the day, I'm going to keep choosing you.
Totally.
I'm going to keep choosing you, and I'm going to keep staying connected, and I'm going to keep growing myself in this process. I think that's one of the hardest things that I see today, which, Becky, you're in the youth world more than I am, but we all have teenagers, so somehow I feel connected to it. But I was just at Dallas Upper Room and speaking to a room full of Gen Z, millennial, young people. And it was so much fun. But I'm looking out here, and the statistics say that generation doesn't seem to have a value for marriage, because they don't they don't see it being displayed as valuable.
Wow. Mm. Oh, bummer.
So looking at our kids that are growing up and this, how are you putting on display how valuable marriage is? Mm. How are you putting on display that this covenant is worth the investment? Because right now it's the hookup culture is easy because there's no attachment and I don't really know what we're fighting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do we help cultivate in our own homes so our girls have something different that they're promoting out there?
Yeah, that's such a good question.
Gosh. You go for it, honey.
You know, I'm just now entering into that, kind of in that headspace as my daughter's 10, you know, coming into the preteen years. And we have found to be more, I was in a home where it was, you know, you don't talk to the kids about anything. Like, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. so everything's whispers or behind closed doors or dealt with when we go to bed. But you felt the underlying tension of all the moments. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know if this is right or wrong. We'll know in 10, 20 years, right? Sure. When our kids are older. But we have just started to bring our kids into the process with us. And I don't know where I heard it, probably some podcast you guys have done, but when I am disrespectful to Derek, I'll apologize to him. And before I would, you know, when the kids were little, I'm like, we're whisper fighting in the kitchen or, you know, when they're sleeping.
Hoping that nobody feels that atmosphere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'll go, oh, Derek, I'm so sorry. I talked to you that way. It was really, you know, I missed the mark there. And then I'll turn. And if my daughter's in the room, I'll say, Lucy, I am so sorry. I disrespected your dad that way. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will start to, you know, I've been having conversations with her on this is how you would want to treat a husband. This is why, this is how, and I'm just actually bringing her in. And I have found it so, it's been a game changer. Mm-hmm. It's been a game changer for us. The level of accountability I feel, the level of connection, even her, you know, I've noticed now in my kids, when they apologize to one another, the I forgive you is so much quicker because I think we're modeling good. That for, you know, my husband will say, I forgive you or vice versa, which unfortunately I don't have to forgive my husband as much as he has to forgive me.
I have one of those peaceful,
great ones. But yeah, we've just been, and we're just trying to show them the fight, the fight every day of choosing each other. And I noticed too, I'm, you know, a spicy, bossy, bratty woman sometimes. And I'll kind of murmur under my breath or say something that frustrates me about dad in front of them. Mm. This kind of all came a revelation moment where Derek went and did the annoying habit, right, that he did. And I heard Lucy say exactly what I say about it. And it grieved me.
Yeah.
And I thought, she's only annoyed at that because I've displayed that. And then rather than beating myself up or hoping it goes away, I came to her in the moment and said, that's actually not annoying that dad does that. That's what makes daddy daddy. That's why I love him. And I'm sorry for every time I've made that seem, you know, whatever. And Derek's like jaw dropped on the, like, what, you know? And my daughter, you know, is able to, you know, I don't know. That's what we're trying to do, is just show her this is what it is. And I read some of it too, you know, like, don't you want to disagree in front of your kids? I actually had coffee with a woman, I'll end here, with at church. And she said, my parents were pastors. They never argued in front of us, ever. Rich ministry family, never argued. And then when all the kids were grown, they said, we're getting a divorce. We've not been in love for years. I've had multiple affairs. Gosh. She got married and she said, because I never ever saw healthy conflict and resolution, I had no idea. They had three kids. Marriage crumbled 15 years later. And now she's divorced, young, divorced. And she goes, my expectation of marriage was that you don't ever fight, because my parents never fought. And that's what she thought marriage should look like. And so I thought, oh my gosh.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, I don't do that I forgive you thing in front of the kids. I should start that.
Good advice for all of us.
Yes. It is. You know, Ben, I don't know if it's the English humor or whatever, but he's constantly teasing me. Yeah. And I just can't stand it sometimes. And I'm too soft. And the kids are laughing. And I'm like, seriously? Okay, guys, see? Daddy wants me to do this. Ooh, you know? And I just get all crazy. And they're just like, Dad, stop it. You know, like, you know, especially Judah. He's like, don't do that to Mom.
Sweetie
and
boy.
He's like on the floor, like Ben's like laughing and stuff. And it's like, I'm learning, you know, I'm 15 years in too, just like Becky. But it's like, we ain't doing that. I forgive you and stuff in front of the kids. I need to start that. But I also need to really not be so sensitive, you know?
Yeah.
But they're seeing me. I'm like, you guys, Daddy doesn't want me to do that. You know, yeah. like really obnoxious. And he's like, babe, come on. You know, really immature. You know, so that's
where
we're at.
Well, this is the gift of communication that you're trying to learn.
And they're looking at me. The kids, they're just like, oh my gosh. Mom, I don't think he meant that. Like, it's not that serious, you know? And I'm like, it is that serious. Like, how do you want me to cook this? You want me to put, you know?
You cook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the biggest thing, real quick, we only, you know, I'm watching the time because I'm a talker. But the other day, you know, I was doing the laundry. So I put his stuff on the bed and he comes in the room. He says, I'm sorry, this is so funny. He goes, you know, I don't want my clothes on. There's dog hair every, because we have two labs.
Oh, gosh.
So, of course, here I go now. So, what do you want me to do while you're at the job? You don't want, I mean, how do you want me to do your clothes? I mean, you don't want me to put them on, this is your bed. Where you want them to be at? We're separating the clothes on the bed. So, I went on with the separation of the clothes at dinner, and the kids are just like, okay, this is awesome. We're just going to beat a dead horse. And Ben is laughing. Anyways, this is me. Petty, 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 petty. Oh, horrible. Don't learn from me on this podcast. Oh. Keep your love on.
I mean, those are.
Oh my gosh, I was so confused. I'm helping you out. You ain't here.
Get me a laundry sorting table.
I mean, seriously, what do you want me to do with your clothes?
Hang them in the middle.
I said, there is no dog here. It's here. Come on.
You could always do your own clothes.
Oh. He kind of like wants to, but I don't know.
Well, there you go. Empowerment.
He does, but empowerment. I'm trying to help out. Man, that set me off.
Well, maybe that's a good
thing. Guys, I'm in progress. Tell your people on this show. Ruthie's in progress. And she's here to learn
we're
today.
We're going
to
do an apology lab for Ruthie. She's going to learn.
How are you experiencing
We have a really great show called The Kylo Show. That we talk through all these things so you can learn.
Ruthie is a little behind.
No, nah. She's got this.
Becky brought up a good point about hiding our conflict, you know, and it's you're teasing yourself, but you're displaying conflict or whatever.
Or even the frustration.
Yeah, but
it.
What happens in Christian homes is kind of what happens on social media. Let's just show you all the highlights of my life. Yeah. And we never talk about tough things, and you always see, and then the 30 years later we're gonna get a divorce or whatever. Yeah. It's kind of like Danny would, you know, we need to ask for help. We need to invite people in. We don't have to be the expert at everything. I don't have to be a expert bookkeeper. I get to hire someone or find a friend that's good at it if you can't afford to hire someone. But there is so much to say about inviting people in and asking for help and not being afraid to display. This is tough right now. We are working through something hard. Yeah. Obviously, we've had a heck of a year and a half with health, but having to just wade through it. It's hard to watch your kids watch you struggle sometimes. Yes. I have all adult children now, of course, but the what Danny would say, call the fire department when your house is on fire. Don't call the fire department when your house is burned down. There's nothing no one can do to help, you know. So if you're needing a help in a certain area, don't hide it. Yeah. Shout it from the rooftops because there is help available. There are things you could be doing to strengthen your relationships.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Don't hiding it is absolutely not the thing to do. Yeah. Like mold grows in the dark, right?
Yeah. So true.
Pull it out. Yep. Look at it.
Yeah. I think we've actually found our kids. I mean, our kids are a little bit older than yours, Becky, but Addie is probably the best at, if I get snippy or something with Ben, because we've apologized in front of her and to her or them and we've made this practice, she'll actually say, Mom, you're not being very nice. Mm. And for her to have that courage to give me feedback of, this is a different standard. We don't have that level of disrespect. Sure. And that's what I want our kids to know and expect when they go into a relationship, you know, and I've watched Delaney walk out good relationships and bad relationships and her to realize this is not a good relationship.
Yeah. Right.
This is a disrespectful relationship.
Totally.
And that's because she learned that we're going to respect each other and speak with honor and be loving towards one another. So I think that's just a really great thing to aim for.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe Ruthie, we can help find someone that does your laundry yes. for Ben.
Yeah. So, you know, I get it. Just the dog hair is annoying.
Just flip the blanket upside down with the dog hair toward the sheets.
Right.
Do his laundry, then flip it
then
back.
Then flip
over.
It back, but it's not even there. That's the thing, Sherry. I don't know what he's looking at. Maybe you know I'm immune to it.
You have a special love for your dogs.
I do.
So I think that that's the
reality.
That's
the problem.
That's the problem.
Yep.
All right, well, let's do one more question. If we could have you leave advice for women out there that are, whether they're married, not married, they're on a journey of being their best version of themselves, and they want to be powerful women. So whatever it is that they choose, whether it's a career or stay-at-home mom, what advice would you give to women to just to embrace the beauty and wonder that God created in them?
It goes back to a little bit about what Becky was saying about, you know, maybe not having kids yet, maybe not being married yet, excuse me, and feeling like I can't do those things because I have like dreams and visions and passions. Mm-hmm. I think that it brings just so much more fulfillment when you do have even those things in your life, whether you choose that or not. But follow your passions. That's my biggest thing, mm-hmm. Because it does create a lot of fulfillment in my life in particular. You know, I was listening to Becky about that, and I actually started my little blogging thing mm-hmm. when I had no money and no nothing. But I did the thrifting because it made me happy. And I had three little kids. Mm-hmm. I was married. But I did that because that's all I could do in that mm-hmm. moment. And then it flourished into something right. else. Right. But my biggest advice is if you have a passion mm-hmm. or a dream, run after it, like mm-hmm. run after it. And obviously don't make it come before any of those things. Yeah. But I think that's a huge part of being fulfilled. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. I think I would say to any young or any woman out there listening to embrace, it's so relevant in today's culture of mm-hmm. social media in comparison. And something that has been a really big hurdle for me to overcome, and I think I'm still in the process, is if you're going to embrace what God's called you to do, mm-hmm. you have to like un-embrace what God has called everyone else to do.
Absolutely.
And I think we're just really hung up on what everyone mm-hmm. else around us is doing. And it just takes our foot. And we know all these things, you know, mm-hmm. like comparison robs you of joy and mm-hmm. all the things. But really, I think we know these things, but we're not actually practicing mm-hmm. it. We're not actually... Yeah. Stopping, you know, stop the scroll, stop the obsession mm-hmm. and ask the Lord, what is it that he's called you to do? And I found the most freedom in health when I'm able to embrace that my life looks very different. And mm-hmm. I have yet to find a woman who's doing what I'm doing exactly. And I've just had to go, okay, that doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. It means God's called me to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And first, I've just spent so many years trying to find who is doing exactly what I'm right. doing so I can compare yeah. models, so yeah. I can find mm-hmm. success. Mm-hmm. And finally, yeah. finally, the Lord's like, I have asked you to do something that I've not asked anyone else to do. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. actually the case with all of us. You're not going to find someone mm-hmm. doing exactly yeah. what you're called to do. And I think a lot of women are actually sacrificing in their calling and their mission because they are obsessed over other people's callings and missions.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we've really got to stop
that's
that.
Good.
So
I had that conversation with someone this weekend when we were doing a marriage conference, and they asked me all this. I said, the best thing that I can do is serve the Lord with what he's asked me to do mm-hmm. and trust that he's going to take care of all the things that I care so deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once I step out of that calling and I step out of that favor, that's when things become problematic.
Yeah.
Which means I'm getting distracted by the things I shouldn't be comparing my life to mm-hmm. or looking for.
It's great. I mean, people know, like I talk to women all the time. They know more about other people's lives yeah. than they do their own kids under their nose. Yeah. They know more about the vacation that their favorite mm-hmm. blogger took
so true.
Than they do about their own finances. Like, yeah. well, I could never go to so-and-so because so-and-so went to such. I'm like, what? You are.
Who cares?
Yes. Yeah. So do what's in front of you. Do what you're called yeah. to do and embrace that.
The good thing is you can have dreams and vision for your life and things you're interested in without being employed by yeah. that thing. So,
yes.
so mm-hmm. it's kind example. Of like, hey, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you know, you're handing out crackers and wiping noses all day, you can still do an online course on photography
yeah.
or mm-hmm. something. You find something that you're interested in because I know this is hard to imagine, but your kids are going to grow up. They're going to go away and be adults and all those things. And then have you developed yourself while they were growing? Have you developed that dream in your life so that when you're when you have more time, you can go do that passion? It doesn't have, you don't have to have money.
Right.
You don't have to have a career. You have time. You have energy.
Ruthie's and a develop case yourself study for that. I mean, she really is.
She made that point.
I think you should make sure that you love yourself no That's matter what good, season Brett. That you're in. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, your kids are going to leave. Your season is serving your family, having a job, or serving your family, staying at home. But if you don't love yourself in that season and you don't develop that, then you're going to be really sad at the end
of. This is a big thing. Yep. Yeah. That's a big deal.
It is.
Such a good word.
So. Yeah. Awesome, ladies. Thank you for joining us. Thanks
That's
for
the it. We done talking.
We're done talking.
We'll have to have you back.
Encore. After hours. Keep it rolling.
Yes. I know. We could have a lot of fun, no doubt. But as always, thank you so much for listening to The Kyla Show. And remember, the whole healthy families are going to save the world. Ladies, we believe in you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.